This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
But you're right. Indiana can win the whole thing. They can win the whole thing. This team is clicking on all cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
They've got every aspect of their game clicking. They're playing good defense. They're scoring, obviously. They're moving the ball. The bench is being productive every night, whether it's, you know, Mathurin and Toppin or name whatever other bench guy is out there producing, TJ McConnell or somebody like that. They get contributions, it feels like, every night from the bench. And, yeah, they are – there's not a lot of – there's not a lot to be left desired on that team right now. They are clicking.
SJ still got the belt, or are we ready to crown Tyrese?
Hell yeah.
No, these belts are in the trash.
No,
like
Alundra.
Hey, relax. Relax, TNA Impact, okay?
No, we've thrown these belts in the garbage.
I still got my European championship.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. No, hell no. Don't do that to SJ. We can't even bring that up. SJ just have 40. Team up 3-1.
Yeah, but Tyrese Halliburton, though, what he did yesterday. And he got Giannis in round one, took down the Cavs in round two.
SGA beat Jokic.
SGA is Cody.
Oh.
See,
so what, warm it up. Warm it up. NBA takes ready.
No, hold on. You hate Cody.
I don't hate
SGA
Cody.
Is exactly this. That's SGA. Boring. That's SGA.
What have you been saying about the Thunder the all week?
No, that's SGA. SGA is Cody. And Ty might be Jey Uso right now.
Well,
SJ's going to do it for the fans.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
The thing about it is, well, you're not going to like this. I shouldn't even say
Come
that.
On, man. Come on.
That's the second time you said that today.
Yeah, like, come on, man. You talked about Drake for 30 minutes. You might as well.
SGA is a deserving champion. He is the best. He is better at what he does than Cody is.
That's stupid. Stop it.
SGA is better at what he does than Cody is.
No, he's not. But they're on the same. They're on the same. They're on the same length. They're like right there with each other. SGA is Cody.
SGA is Cody. Ty.
Ty might be Jey Uso.
Oh, I hate that.
Since you guys don't think Jey is deserving.
I don't think Jey is deserving. It's like, no, like you have more to do with Jey. He's not there as like, he's not a carry the company. He's not Roman. He's not Cody. He's not pull the company along guy. He's Daniel Bryan.
You see how he tried to, Jesse, he tried to sneak that in there. Yeah, that's the problem. Cody's not a carry the company guy either.
No, he very much is. Though, yes,
yeah,
he is.
Hey,
when was the last time you watched wrestling?
Well, that's not because of Cody.
Cody's not even there anymore, I don't think.
He came back on Saturday Night Main Event.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I saw that clip.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Dwayne and the John Cena heel turn didn't really get me revved up for WrestleMania.
They would have done the same thing. If The Rock and all this other stuff would have done the same thing with Roman, energy would have been different.
Well, maybe, but you had like 5 years of equity with Roman.
Even if there was no losing streak or no streak anymore, and it was just Cena versus Roman.
True. That's not true. Don't act like Roman wasn't floundering before the heel turn. Wasn't that dude before the heel turn.
You mean like
the Paul Heyman heel turn 5 years ago?
Yeah, that's fine, but he's there. Cody ain't there.
Well, you got to get him there then. Like, first of all, he is. Every metric shows that he is. But he ain't Roman. And SGA isn't LeBron or Steph.
So, SGA's Cody. I don't do, my original point is, if you don't believe in Jay, I think Ty is a little higher than Jay.
I think so too.
I'd give him Punk.
Nah, that's too high. Seth? That's too high. Okay, that's fine. Punk's way too high.
Who's Punk? Ant?
Nah, to, you won't like this. To me, Punk is like, that's the LeBron and Steph. Like, if LeBron and Steph are LeBron, that's Roman and Punk. Like, Punk is at that. I know you don't like that, but Punk is.
No, nah, I mean, I don't have no problem.
He's that dude.
I don't
Punk, no Punk is Steph.
I don't have no problem with it.
Yeah.
He might mess around and go on a little title run in 2022 or whatever. When he has right? no business doing it, but okay. Hey, he's that good.
All right, get it off your chest.
What? I gave him props.
That's who.
I don't have no problem with that.
That's who Punk is.
But, yeah, it looks like it's going to be Seth and Cody in the finals.
Well, I mean, and that's how you, and that's the thing, you know, with all of this build the stars and build the face, like who's the face of the league. You have to create one. Like Roman's heel turn and that run made him the face of the company. He was not the face of the company. They were trying to do something with Drew McIntyre at that WrestleMania.
That
was their plan. And poor Drew, like, obviously is incredible, but no one knows where that would have gone. You have to, like, no one can be the face of the league while LeBron and Steph are still playing. But you need someone to establish themselves, whether that's SGA, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton. Someone has to establish themselves while they're still here. And then the second one is gone, it's like, well, you know, you got Ty up here with Steph for LeBron, or you got SGA up here who's won, you know, a title and an MVP or whatever. That's a road that takes years to build. It took Roman years to build that. Roman wasn't even Roman when he beat Edge and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. It's like, cope. All right, man, you beat a guy named Cope. You beat two guys who left the company within like a year.
Yeah.
Like, all right, man.
So my belief on this superstar thing, and it's really nauseating. They talk about it every morning now on First Take and all
that. Aldrin said Cody is for the kids, and that made me think, yeah, Cody might be Playboy Cardi. He's just not for us.
But this whole superstar and face of the league, and people are like, well, they gotta build these guys up. They gotta put OKC. I'm of the belief.
No, you gotta win.
Well, that too, but I'm of the belief you can't make the face of the league. You can't. You can put guys in position, they can win, or whatever, but you can't do it. It's like
No, when, you're 100%
it's
right.
It's like when they tried to make Shield Roman
right.
the face of wrestling.
Yep.
You can't do
Sucker it. Sucker and succotash.
Yeah.
Like, and man, just, get this loser out of here.
And just because you're good or you win doesn't make you the face of the league. We've talked about this before. You understand it. Jesse understands it too. You have to make people feel
yep.
one way or the other.
Yep.
And that's organic. And you and I'm a guy might be playing his final game of the season this year. Anthony Edwards is making people feel one way or the other. And here's the other thing that's starting to happen with Ant. He's starting to seeds of doubt are starting to be planted in people's heads with the way he performs in a couple of these conference finals. So now when it was all roses with, oh, Ant-Man, and he's so much fun, and he's the man, and all this other stuff. They lose again this year and losing five or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's going to be, well, Ant, he's good, but when he goes against his peers, he ain't got it. And then there'll be the people who believe it. No, yes, he did. Come on. That's not his fault that Randall did. And now we arguing about something. And now Ant plays SGA in the first round of the playoffs next year. I'm going to tap in because I didn't told you for 6 months it wasn't Ant's fault that he didn't perform. And I'm about to show, like, we're going to tweet about this whole thing. And now you've got emotion involved due in part to his own failure.
So let me ask.
He's going to be the one.
Do you think Anthony Edwards makes people feel that, or does Anthony Edwards make you feel that? Because Anthony Edwards doesn't make me feel any of that. I'm watching Anthony Edwards like, I'm watching him like not the same as Trae Young, but it's like, all right. He has moments. Like, you like to talk about the moments, the trash talking, like that. He has like the dunks, like his dunks are crazy. But like when you look for that sustained energy as the guy, I don't feel like he has it.
But that's my whole point. There is a discourse beginning to happen where there'll be people like yourself like, he ain't got it like that. And then there'll be other people who are, he hasn't shown it. Or, okay, that's cool that you get your little dunks and all this other stuff, but what about when it's 2-1 in the Western Conference Finals and I need you to win a game? You come up with 19 points, stop talking to me about Anthony Edwards. And there'll be people, like I see the discourse.
But
they're starting to point out. Like I saw something the other day. They're starting to point out he was talking crazy to Lou Dort in game 3. And there was a tweet and 500 responses following it. The tweet was, and he only do this at home. He don't do this on the road. No, you bugging, da-da-da-da. Discourse is starting to happen. I'll put it to you like this. As great as we think Donovan Mitchell is there any real discourse with Donovan Mitchell?
No.
Nobody's really tripping. But there's a level of failure that's starting to happen with Anthony Edwards that are starting to make people look at him differently. Like, hold on, pump the brakes. Y'all tell me how great he is. I'm pointing to this as to why he's not as great as you guys are saying he is. It's like James Harden. People try to tell James Harden is the truth. What is he doing in the playoffs? Nothing. And we get together as a family in the playoffs to, for some people, to say, I told you, he was trash.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He ain't doing it in the play. We don't get together in the playoffs for Donovan Mitchell. We watch that on our own accord. And that's the level of feel that I'm talking about. We'll see it next playoffs with Anthony Edwards. We're going to get together as a family. And then don't even get started on the aspect of if people start saying he need to leave Minnesota.
Okay.
Giannis hasn't even had that. Giannis is a little bit of a made man. Before, he was starting to get it until he won a championship. And now he's kind of a made man.
He was starting to what, catch heat?
Yeah, because
they
had lost, I think, 3 times when they were like a 1 or 2 seed or something like that.
I have more.
Okay.
I have a lot of questions. We'll come back. A lot of this centers on Tyrese. Because if we're talking about who's next, Tyrese is showing me something this offseason. So we'll get to that. There's much more ahead. Casey said he has some Kings thoughts. We'll dive into that. Stealing with Casey here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. To 916 and his daughter.
Big ups, big ups, big ups, big ups.
Pastor Shadow Sessions is now officially a dispatcher with the Elk Grove Police Department.
That is awesome. Appreciate it.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Scooter, is she just in charge of Kenny's compound? Like, if anyone gets close to like Kenny's property lines, does she handle all of the dispatch, or is it like all? Is it Kenny's Elk Grove or just all of Elk Grove? If you could let us know in the chat.
Now, would you, compound police.
Once again,
right?
Would you guys stop these lies? Because now you got the babies believing these lies, and you got them reciting.
Hey, babies don't lie, sir.
Babies don't even speak English.
No, they're being told certain stuff. They're being sold certain things.
No,
shout out to my girl Morgan, and this is what is being taught.
No, it's look, she's pressing buttons and
Come on, man. Hey, come on.
Huh? Hey, that's tough.
Look at this.
That's tough, ain't it? Yeah, that's.
This has to stop. Because she'll believe that. She'll believe that's what.
Well, I know. No, this is your fault.
I just told her Uncle Kenny is a big Lakers fan.
Why would you lie to her that way?
She asked what it meant. What am I supposed to say?
This all could have been avoided if you just admitted you were a Knicks fan last week.
That's it.
Yeah, we gave you this option. Yeah.
Yep.
Benny, this is your fault.
Morgan, don't listen to these people. The first lesson in life, don't listen to the media.
Uncle Kenny's a big, big Laker fan.
Do not listen to the media. Okay, now see, look, now you've got Scooter in here talking about apparently Kenny requires specialized tactical training for all members of that unit, even the dispatchers, and she's working on that.
Okay.
This is not true.
Thank you, Scooter.
Your neighborhood is like paradise, except we're not in the apocalypse.
No, it's...
Or whatever they call that.
Did you ever watch Paradise? The show?
No.
Oh.
Is that the show we talked about for a couple days?
Yeah.
What was the show where episode 7 everyone was going crazy for? Was that Paradise?
Yeah.
Paradise.
Which was a little bit of a dud.
I thought
it was about to be super close.
Yeah, I think we were just... They just led us too much to the top where we were just expecting something way crazier.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine, but yeah.
It was good.
It was good.
I did finally finish Raising Kanan. We need to be careful how we end seasons.
Spoiler alert. Come on. Spoiler alert. Because I got to talk about it a little bit. I mean, that seemed like a mid-season final.
Not a season final. Yeah.
I didn't like that.
Plus, we never really know when Raising Kanan is coming back. Though, I did see that goddamn trailer.
For?
June 6th.
Oh, for BMF.
Yeah. All I want to know is what them brothers was doing in Mexico, and I don't want to watch
in the middle
this
of nowhere
anymore.
In Mexico. In the middle of nowhere.
Come on, man.
So, I told you about this. So, in the season finale of Raising Kanan, they introduced Breeze, and people were going crazy about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'll take your guys' word for it. I don't even remember them saying the name Breeze in Power. And then I went to YouTube and it was like a video of all the time Breeze.
I watched
was
that
gone.
Same video.
It's like 5 minutes. Man. Wait, what?
That one really kind of slipped through the cracks there. That's tough.
Yeah,
that's tough.
At least we know Raising Kanan will be back though.
Yeah, it will.
And did you see the one where.
I guess Force is never coming back. I guess Tommy's just gone.
No, I think Force. Supposed to be coming back after
Force
BMF.
Has been gone for like a year.
I think Force is good. I think Force is good after BMF. And then the rotation is going to go Force, and then it's going to go Raising Kanan.
Why don't we just get rid of BMF?
BMF is good.
It's terrible.
But
it's awful.
It's terrible, but I got to see how the story ends. We ain't even introduced Young Jeezy yet. We got years.
No, I guess not.
Somebody brought this up, and they could always pivot, but they showed a clip where they're like, well, yeah, Kanan definitely doesn't kill Rock, because they show on Power, 50 Cent Kanan was talking to the guys. He's like, yeah, man, hey, yeah, I got to go real quick. Got to go talk to my moms real quick. Got to go see my moms, go to her house, and then, you know, I'll be back around. So, Rock. Now,
they hinted that someone was behind Rock. They shot it in a way to where it's like, I didn't see anything, but they shot it and Kanan's eyes showed maybe there's someone behind Rock, and that's where the shot gets fired off. Yeah.
And saves Rock's life.
Yeah. I don't know who it is. And I guess Tony Danza's still alive.
But that was crazy.
That was the other one I couldn't figure
out.
Like, is he dead or alive?
How did he make it?
Well, Who's the Boss hasn't been made yet, so I guess he's got a. I guess this would probably be the same time Who's the Boss was on.
Right.
I remember the first time. I was like, is that Tony Danza? It is.
Danza and, well, I can tell them apart, but Tony Danza and the guy from NCIS and the guy from Miami Vice always kind of look similar to me. I can tell them apart, but they always kind of look similar. The guy from NCIS and old boy from Miami Vice, I thought they were the same person for a long time.
Are you Are you talking about Don Johnson?
Don Johnson. Don Johnson.
Don Johnson does not look like Tony Danza, sir. That's borderline racist.
No. I said they all three of them reminded me of somebody. But wait, Don Johnson.
And wait, isn't Don Johnson in both of those shows?
So I thought he was, and somebody said he wasn't.
Oh.
He's in NCIS, right?
I thought so.
That's what I thought for the longest, and somebody was like, no, it's not. That's not Don Johnson. I was like, he looks just like him. What do you mean it's not Don Johnson?
He's okay. Wait a second. Okay, I take that back. Older Don Johnson looks a lot like older Tony Danza.
Well, that's what I'm.
Holy crap!
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm thinking like I'm for some reason I'm thinking the Miami version.
No, not their prime.
Oh yeah. No.
Not their primes.
The Tony Danza that's in Raising Kanan and the Tony Danza that is definitely in NCIS absolutely look the same.
See, David Jackson says Don Johnson is not on NCIS. They look exactly
Yes, he
the
same.
I'm confused.
Wait.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
No, wait a minute. No, he's not. Wait. He's appeared, I guess, in NCIS New Orleans.
Oh,
is that the one you're talking about?
No, NCIS.
Oh, okay. Then I don't know what
DC
you're talking about.
DC is what I'm talking about. But they're saying he's on Nash Bridges. I do remember that.
Well, he was the star of Nash Bridges, wasn't he?
Well, when somebody told
this
me.
This show is
this was,
so bizarre,
this was like
man.
A year ago. Somebody okay. was like. That's not Don Johnson on NCIS. I was like,
oh,
really?
The guy. Okay. No, okay. No. I see this. So the guy on NCIS New Orleans is, what role would everybody know him from?
He don't look nothing like Don Johnson.
I disagree.
No.
He looks similar.
Let me.
Hold on. Let me go to images. Well, okay. No, he doesn't. I mean, a little bit.
The guy. On Mark Harmon is.
I mean,
guy.
There's
Mark Harmon looked like.
No. Wait a minute. No. What NCIS are you looking at?
That's if you put in NCIS cast, the one with Mark Harmon is the one that comes.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at NCIS New Orleans.
New Orleans. That guy don't look like Don Johnson. He look regular. I watch New Orleans.
I'm gonna be honest. I'm looking at Mark Harmon. All these, they all look alike.
Scott Bakula.
Yeah, but what? Yeah, he's from regular. A sports movie. He's absolutely from. Is I don't know if it's Major League or what it is. He's from a sports movie everybody would know.
Unnecessary Roughness.
That's it. The football
Major
movie.
League, but it's the old this Major League Back to the Minors.
Was that two?
Three, I think.
Oh. Mm. I think okay.
Quantum Leap, I guess, is his most famous thing.
And then okay. I think I remember him from Unnecessary Roughness. I think Sinbad was in that movie.
Yeah, he was. Sinbad was. And Kathy Ireland, maybe? She was the kicker. I don't know if that was Kathy Ireland or not.
I don't think I knew there was a third Major League.
Yeah, you didn't miss nothing. I don't even think I saw it.
Oh, it's pretty crazy that we lost Wesley Snipes after one.
That was... And then Omar
they just replaced
just
him with Omar.
Yeah, he's just here. Shout out to me. That's a point for me, Kathy Ireland. That was a deep pull.
A point for wait. What is the pull. Kathy Ireland reference?
She was in Unnecessary Roughness.
Oh,
yeah, that's a deep pull.
I thought
pull
she was
by
saying
boy.
She was married to Kathy Ireland.
Oh, Necessary Roughness, not Unnecessary.
Is that that's the one with Sinbad, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a good call.
Count it. Yeah. Out of here, man. What we doing?
The whole point is. Tony
what
Danza,
is the point? Oh, that's
Mark
right,
Harmon
Tony Danza.
And Don Johnson in their older ages.
Yeah, they look a little
resemble
alike.
Each other. Mark Harmon and Don Johnson, like those, I thought that was the same person.
Oh, I disagree. I think Don Johnson and Tony Danza look far more alike than I realize. I'm thinking in my head, that's insane.
Let me see Don Johnson right now.
Then I see older Don Johnson, and it's like, oh, yeah, he looks just like Tony Danza on Raising Kanan. Exactly the same.
He got he cooking a little bit.
I think you're working a bit with Mark Harmon. I think you're working a bit with Mark Harmon. You know what I always remember Mark Harmon from is Summer School. Did you ever see the movie Summer School?
No.
It used to come on Channel 31.
Oh wow!
Like regularly on Saturdays after Superstars of Wrestling. I've watched that movie million times.
I'm gonna have to see what that is now.
Who's from Cheers? Kirstie Alley was in it.
Shout out, Kirstie Alley. Shout out, Look Who's Talking. That was my one.
Kirstie Alley was fine. Kirstie Alley was fine.
Straight up.
Absolutely fine.
Okay, here's Summer School. Well, maybe I'm not thinking of Kirstie Alley. Oh no, okay. I'm thinking of somebody else in Look Who's Talking. But I remember Kirstie.
No, Kirstie Alley's definitely in Look Who's Talking.
Well, this they
yes, Kirstie Alley and John Travolta.
This lady does not look like Kirstie Alley on Summer School.
Oh, you might. Are you looking at the blonde?
Yeah.
No, that's the girl. She was in 2.5 Men and Melrose Place. I forgot her name.
Okay.
But nah, that's a different girl.
There's Kirstie Alley. Yeah. Sorry, Kirstie Alley. Yeah. Big ups. I had it right the first time. It's another point for me.
What for? What?
Well, I had Kirstie Alley, and Look Who's Talking.
Everybody knows Kirstie Alley's in Look Who's Talking.
It's
Kirstie Alley and John Travolta. What are you doing? You're out here begging for points.
Not everybody remembered that. Not everybody remembered
Look Who's Talking. Everyone knows that. Yeah.
It's a shame.
No, this guy definitely don't know Look Who's Talking. Listen to him.
Why can't I know Look Who's Talking?
There's no chance.
Kirstie Alley and John Travolta.
You've never seen Look Who's... Yeah, what is Look Who's Talking about? Hold on. No, explain to our people on camera what Look Who's Talking is about.
Ain't no way he knows.
It's about a couple who finds each other at the end of the movie.
This is
they love each other.
This is Kenny describing Office episodes.
It's an 80s movie. I don't know. Is it an 80s movie?
Maybe early 90s.
Yeah, I'm sure they are not together at the beginning, and then they're kind of connected in some way, then they find love at the end, right?
Terrible.
Keep going with the plot of Look Who's Talking.
I don't know, man. What?
Look Who's Talking is about a baby who you can hear the baby's thoughts.
Yeah, I was off.
Now what I can't remember now is John Travolta is not the voice. Is Bruce Willis the voice?
Bruce Willis is the voice.
But John Travolta's in the movie.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Bruce Willis is the voice. And then they had Look Who's Talking too.
They did.
And who was the baby girl? Whose voice was that? Look Who's Talking is 89.
Wow.
I got that right. I need a point for that one.
Wait, for what?
I said it was an 80s movie.
Both of you two are absolutely begging right now. It's kind of gross.
Look Who's Talking to.
It's amazing that there was a sequel to that. Oh, there were two sequels.
Well, Look Who's Talking Now could have stayed. But you have to do Look Who's Talking to. Talking 1 was iconic.
No, I got you. Roseanne Barr was in...
Oh, she was the...
She was one of the voices. So was Damon Wayans.
I'm looking at this little black kid right now. I'm looking... Oh, man. I used to love those movies.
Me too.
When they would come on HBO.
Man, Kirstie Alley and John Travolta did all three of them. Danny DeVito was in the third one. Diane Keaton was in the third one.
So those movies had to have made money, right?
So the third one, the third one lost money.
John Travolta there.
The third one was budgeted at 22. It made 10.3 at the box office. Look Who's Talking 1. God.
Oh, okay.
Damn it.
Do you have what it cost and what they made?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say.
Hey, we can do it.
Let's do it.
We can do it. This is crazy.
Let's do it.
This is crazy.
All right. Okay. Tell me what it costs.
I don't even know how to like.
You just say what it costs.
Budget for Look Who's Talking 1 with John Travolta and Kirstie Alley in 1989 was $7.5 million. How much?
Hey, what the hell? This is not pocket watching. Like, you're not stealing a win off it.
How much? All right, Jesse's
wait,
right.
What the hell is he mean? What do you mean he's right?
This is not pocket watch. No, he's still wins out here.
How much did Look Who's Talking make at the box office?
Go ahead.
Again, budgeted at $7.5 million. Reminder, John Travolta's in the movie. Mm. Kirstie Alley is in the movie. Mm. Bruce Willis is the voice of the baby. Mm. And they made two more. $7.5 million, how much did it make?
The face you made, this is got to be like some absurd number. I'll go.
Run it back because the beat hit at the wrong time.
50
million.
Boom!
Man, Jesse, not bag. In fact, both of you lose because you're not even close.
What? How did it make?
No, I...
$297 million.
Crazy. First of all, that is
no
wild.
Profit. They were laundering money. There's
a
no way.
Profit of $289.5 million.
I know money laundering when I see it.
That is bananas.
That is crazy.
No chance.
Wow.
We're watching Look Who's Talking this week.
Look Who's Talking Too.
Yeah, you had to make two.
Look Who's Talking Too. So they don't give us the budget for this one, but remember the first one was 7.5.
Probably, I'll say 15 million.
The second one was 22, so it's safe to say it's probably in the middle. Number two, probably a disappointment.
135.
$120.9 million.
What is wrong with those people that...
Oh, my goodness. Well, you had to make three. That's what I'm saying. I don't blame them now. You had to make three.
I had to make money. It made all the money, I guess.
You had to make three.
So, 4 years later, the world is done with talking babies. As Look Who's Talking Now grossed $10 million. $290 million less than the first one.
Well, sorry, bro. Well, there's no way.
Well, they're not done with talking babies, if you remember the plot of that one. They're done with talking animals. Because that's who was talking.
That's right. You're telling me? That's right.
John Bull says $279 million in 1989 and $700 million today. I don't know if that's fact check. You're telling me Look Who's Talking was doing Spider-Man numbers?
Dude, it is DC comic movies.
That was a major movie. In 89. That movie, I remember seeing that in the theaters.
Why?
Oh, yeah. Because it's a talking baby.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was the POV of a baby. Everything in life was the POV of
this,
a baby.
This, by the way, this show's gone. So if y'all left, like, I wouldn't blame you. Hold on. I need to, highest grossing movies of 1989.
Those dudes probably made that
like, is that Batman? I was going to say, is that the Batman year?
I think that's Batman year.
Is Batman number one or number two?
Number one.
Nope.
What?
Also coming out in 1989 at $474.1 million.
What the hell?
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Okay,
okay. I still think, if you would have told me that movie, I would have thought Batman.
Number two. $411.5 million.
What the Halliburton?
Batman.
Oh, my goodness.
Number three. I didn't realize this was 1989. Back to the Future, Part 2. There, the one you're familiar with.
Yes, yes.
$332.9 million.
There's a one, right?
And number four was Look Who's Talking.
Wow. I can't fathom that. That's
also in the top 10. Lethal Weapon 2. Damn. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Hey, dog, you got to watch Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. You think he'd enjoy it right now?
Have you seen Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
You think he'd enjoy it right now?
I have
now?
No memories of it. If I saw it, it was probably like.
No, he's too old.
You don't think it holds up today?
Yeah, I think it does for kids.
I can appreciate a good movie. Like if it's stupid,
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids will hold up.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, it'll hold up.
That's a good movie.
Ghostbusters 2, The Little Mermaid, and Born on the 4th
what
of July.
What the hell? Is 1989 the greatest cinematic year ever?
That's a hell of a year.
What the hell?
That's a hell of a year.
What the hell, Barry? That's crazy.
Real quick. I know what it is, of course, but Spencer in the chat house says, Jesse, you got to remember this multiplex. What's a multiplex? That's just a movie theater?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the difference, I guess?
I don't think there's much of a difference. Is there?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Spencer's trying to throw me off with you guys' old school terms.
Yeah, but we didn't. There wasn't much else to do. Maybe you got that one game on.
Now I'm looking at like the biggest movies. The biggest movies of 1992, Aladdin at 404.
Oh, I love Aladdin.
The Bodyguard at 411. Home Alone 2, just an absurd concept, at 354.9. And number four, a movie that was on the verge of being rated NC-17. Basic Instinct brought in $352.9 million at the box office.
That's crazy.
That had to have been kids sneaking into the theater somehow.
I was about to say another movie.
Which one?
Showgirls. I think Showgirls actually
Think Showgirls grossed any money.
Was it? I think that was actually was NC-17, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
You know what?
The budget and box office might be fun for that one.
They got a really bad scene in that movie. That might be NC-17.
I got to be honest. I don't think I've actually seen it. It's titled A 1995 Erotic Drama. It grossed $37 million on a budget of $45 million.
Oh, I lost money. Sorry for them.
For its home video release, the company, I can't pronounce, Verhoeven, prepared an R-rated edition for rental outlets that could not or would not carry NC-17 films. So this movie as a shoot was rated NC-17 in the theaters?
Yeah, shout out to new papa, Aceberg Slim. He says Showgirls was NC-17. Obviously, it was like strippers, but they got a really bad scene in there.
Man, looking back at these movies that we went to see, in 1988, Rain Man brought in $354. That was the highest grossing movie of the year.
Hollywood was making money.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, that was big time.
Was 329 points.
I don't remember the plot of that movie.
All you remember is Jessica and that they sexualized a cartoon character in the worst way imaginable.
And it worked for some people.
Brother, it worked for everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Might be working on me right now that I think about it. Coming to America was third at $288.7 million with Crocodile
Dundee.
Number five was Twins. Jesse, do you know the plot of the movie Twins?
I barely know the plot of Twins.
Do you know? You know the stars though.
Yeah,
I can make up a plot, but no.
Okay, who are the stars of Twins?
Oh, I have.
He has no idea.
No clue.
Brothers that were separated at birth.
Okay.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
Sounds right, I guess, for an 80s movie.
Do you know who Danny DeVito is?
Oh, great question.
No, that's disrespectful. Yes, I know Danny DeVito.
Where
are
you going from?
The commercial.
Well, no, I was about to say.
Well, he's the penguin. He's the penguin in one of the Batman
movies.
There
you go. Yep. What are the commercials? He's in the
Jersey Mike's.
Okay, I knew it was a sub spot.
Jersey Mike's. And then what show was he in where that gift is from, where he's like,
he's in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I think that might be.
He's crazy in that.
Oh, he's
show.
Been in a lot of.
Yeah.
No, I know Danny DeVito.
Oh man, the numbers go crazy in 90. Oh my God!
I want you to check it out while you have it, because they're telling us 95 was the best, and somebody says nope, 94.
Okay, well, okay. Woo, I was about to say 94 too. 93, Jurassic Park hit $914 million.
God, bro, I quit this job. I'm going to be a movie director.
Mrs. Doubtfire was second. The Fugitive.
Bro, they was making movies. Right,
Indecent
there.
Proposal was number six.
That's a crazy movie.
Who's okay? Someone said 1994. Oh man.
They was making movies.
Okay,
you missed out.
Okay,
they was making movies.
94 was The Lion King.
Oh.
763. Forrest Gump was number two.
Oh.
It's a classic.
Damn.
True Lies was three.
That's a little high for True Lies.
The Mask. True Lies was dope.
It was good, but
Jamie Lee Curtis scene, man. Stop playing.
I ain't never forget.
You know? That Jamie Lee Curtis scene was better than the one from Trading Places. If you know, you know.
From Trading Places.
Well, then you ain't seen it, because there ain't no way you don't remember it.
Yeah, I gotta watch.
True Lies was better.
I was like eight when I saw Trading Places. I gotta watch it again.
The Mask was four. Speed was five. Someone said 95?
Yeah. Speed was kind of crazy.
Oh, who said 95?
Sydney.
Put
Dean.
Him on a timeout. Sydney.
No,
Sydney,
no, keep Sydney Dean on there, no, so Sydney, we'll run the movies down.
Die Hard with a Vengeance at 366 was number one.
Oh, no.
Toy Story was number two.
Shout maybe out. Toy Story is a classic.
Apollo 13, GoldenEye. Oh, this is whack.
He might have meant 94. I'm going to stall him out.
Okay, 94 is the look. 96, though.
89 went crazy. What's 96?
96 brought us Independence Day.
Really, oh.
At 817.
Oh.
We really got to talk sports when we come back?
I don't care. Look, man, I'm on fire
right now. Hey, don't say nothing about 96. Yeah, we'll talk about it on the other side.
Late 90s movies when we're back.
All right, so the big question is Face Off.
I think Face Off did crazy numbers.
Face Off is part of, it dropped in 1997.
Well, they was making movies from 80 from 88 to 97 might have been the golden age of cinema.
Oh.
Woo! I know Face Off went crazy.
No. 97 is nuts.
Oh, snap.
97 is nuts. Because this is gonna shut the whole game.
This number
down.
One? This number one.
What?
97, number one. Like, no, I'm talking about the year.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. So let's start with Face Off.
I think Men in Black might be here.
Face Off doesn't crack the top 10.
And they did money. I know they did money.
Face Off on a budget, I think we're back to John Travolta, $80 million.
That's a lot of money, actually. They did take his face off, though.
Grossed $245.7 million.
That's not even top 10.
Not even top 10, as the full Monty.
Oh, man.
Is $257.9.
And that's 10.
That's 10.
Goodness
gracious. Also in this year, Air Force One. Tomorrow Never Dies.
Oh.
Men in Black at 589.3.
Men in Black went crazy. What's that, eight? That's seven, eight?
No, I skipped a bunch.
Oh, okay.
Jurassic Park, The Lost World, 618.6. Shut the whole thing down, because none of those are number one. 1.8 billion dollars. Titanic dropped.
Oh yeah, what was her name in the movie?
Isn't it Rose?
Rose, yeah. Rose could have moved over and let DiCaprio on there.
1.8 billion dollars. Titanic brought in.
Wow.
Three times as much as Jurassic Park: The Lost World did.
Is that the highest grossing
it
movie?
It has to be
of all time.
It absolutely has to be.
Wow.
Titanic became the first film in history to pass $1 billion at the box office. Titanic, God, my goodness. Titanic held the record for the highest grossing film of all time for 12 years.
You know who beat it?
Yes.
Avatar.
Another James Cameron movie.
That I was right.
He directed both of those. Yes.
I saw Avatar. I don't know why that won all them.
Avatar was good.
That was the blue people, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
You're not
I have
missing
meant
anything.
To watch that movie so many times and never did.
It's like, it's not a bad movie, but you're not missing anything.
Did I you need
like
to
it?
See.
Yeah, it was good. Like, I liked it, but I don't know. People like.
It was okay. It was okay.
We've all seen the Titanic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not. Is it overrated?
Probably.
Avatar did 2.7. Oh man!
Woo!
It did $2.7 billion.
Woo!
That is insane. It lapped Titanic.
Wow.
The following year, see, this is a rabbit hole. We might never get out of this, bitch. The next year, there were $2 billion movies.
What year are we talking now?
2010. We need to get out of this because this isn't even fun.
I don't know.
Toy Story 3 and Alice in Wonderland both grossed $1 billion.
Both Avatar movies are like, they're one and three in the top three grossing all time.
Mm.
That is crazy.
And Avengers is a number two.
What's Avengers?
Avengers Endgame number two.
Wait, did it top 2 billion?
Yeah, it's 2.8 basically.
That was a moment. So no other movie top 2 billion except those two?
Avatar was 2.9, it's got to hear, then Avengers was 2.8, then Avatar 2, I guess, or whatever, 2.3, Titanic, then there was Star Wars.
Oh, Avatar 2 did 2.3, got it.
So help me out, and we can get out of here after this, but I'm just
curious. I didn't mean the conversation, I meant the year. It was way funner back. It was way funner hearing Jesse try to explain the plot of Look Who's Talking. It was way better.
Black Panther ain't in the top 10?
No.
Of all time, probably.
Yeah,
not.
No, Avengers Infinity War is in the only there. Spider-Man.
The only reason I thought it might be is because if Endgame is in the top 10.
Black Panther's 19.
I don't think Black Panther is as special to everybody else as it might be to...
True, but I'm just thinking about like the ticket sales they were doing.
Now, Endgame was like a moment, though. That was like kind of leading up to... Like, everyone was going to that.
Do you think Black Panther dropped... Man, 2018.
Jesse said top 20. That's pretty good, I guess.
Do you think Black Panther was the highest grossing movie of 2000? This isn't fair. Never mind. This isn't fair. Avengers Infinity War came out the same year. They hit 2 billion. Black Panther hit 1.3. Also that year, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, 1.3.
Mm. Shout out Incredibles.
But see,
too.
This is why it's not fun, because it's $40 to get into a movie now.
Right.
It was way funner looking at this stuff in 1989.
Yeah, the 80s and 90s was crazy. That Endgame and Infinity War, that's one of the best back-to-backs.
The highest grossing movies.
Time. Maybe the best.
Okay, Jesse, what year were you born again?
December 31st, 96. A little less than 96.
Okay, I think we already did 96, yeah? Yeah, we did 96. That was Independence Day. Casey, what year were you born? 83. Number one movie, 1983, was Return of the Jedi.
It's a solid movie. That's not your bag, but it's a solid one.
Terms of Endearment, Flashdance, and Trading Places was number four.
Ah. Kind of teetered off.
Wow. What a coinkydink. What was yours? Return of the Jedi. For me, it was The Empire Strikes Back.
Two biggest Star Wars guys I know.
Right? 9 to 5, Stir Crazy, which I think, is that a Richard Pryor movie? It is. Yeah. Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder.
I haven't seen it, but I remember that title.
Big year for comedy is Airplane. Cracked the top four. Airplane, the fourth highest grossing movie of 1980 at $83 million.
Oh, yeah. 96 clears all those years.
Yeah, it started popping. I can't talk about like the 70s, all that other stuff, but it seems like from I'll say 87 to 97, we talk about runs that rappers have gone on. I don't know if Hollywood went on a better run than 87 to 97.
Man.
Asking a genuine question, I guess. You're like, isn't that kind of like when movies, I guess, started probably being good? Like, you had The Godfather in the 70s or whatever, but like now, like, you were just running off a list of stuff. Instead of just a one-off this year or stuff like that.
Well, I mean, I've never...
Maybe it's different era, so I don't know how it worked.
Yeah, I just think it's preference. Like, I've never... I mean, people love the Star Wars movies.
Because, like, people talk about Charlie
Chaplin.
That's
1980, yeah.
Whatever. Or just stuff from back then. Or
I think the big thing... I think there's a lot of things, like, at play. Like, prices changed. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think you see these... It's not the sole reason you see 2 billion. And, like, those DC joints are insane.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It feels like different.
I could be wrong, but it feels like storytelling got a little better.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because prices did change, but
like
we're talking about iconic movies.
But
from
I think
that
people
year.
Like super like when you look at Avatar, Jurassic Park. We just ran on those Star Wars joints. I think people like truly like Independence Day. Mm. Will Smith, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, fought aliens. And the guy who saved the world was a drunk who drove his airplane, well, up to the beam, I guess. I don't know what to say. But it's like, it's over-the-top storytelling.
Yeah.
It's not, biopic on It's not Selma.
I might take that back a little bit because Will Smith punched an alien's lights out. Okay.
I could have been at a barbecue. All right.
Jesse, well, do you remember that, Jesse?
In defense,
he punched them and the alien was knocked out.
Well, first of all, sir, that man became Muhammad Ali. Second, the alien was clearly damaged in the crash, and so it didn't take, you know, too much for Will to knock him out.
Didn't even hit him on the jaw.
And then dragged him in his parachute.
Oh, yeah, he never woke
across
up
the desert. Just,
yeah, it's all good. No. I loved Independence Day, though. That was a really good movie.
Then the alien spoke through the president's. He grabbed the president the or
tentacles.
Something.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Do I need to watch Independence Day?
You've never seen it?
I don't like when you do that. I don't like, stop. It's not even, stop. I don't like when you do that. It's not even that serious. No, I haven't seen it.
It literally airs. It's every 4th of July.
Yeah.
On a loop.
TNT. Yeah, I get that, but I'm not going to sit through TNT on the 4th of July.
I'm trying to be leery because we've talked about...
You got
to
realize, like, I went back and watched all these movies on my own.
We've
so,
talked
like, I
about
might have missed some.
Kirstie Alley being Roll Tide. We've talked about the sexualization of Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard the term peep Vivica Fox?
Like we...
Peak Vivica Fox is a term that was coined after Independence Day came out.
Okay.
Straight up.
That alone.
Straight up. And she was a stripper in that movie.
She was. She was a dancer.
Dancer.
Exotic.
Exotic.
And she told the first lady.
Oh, like ballet or something?
Right before the first lady died. Spoiler alert. First lady dies.
Great.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.